sermon this morning comes from John chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 28 through 31. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Pray with me. God, our God, we need life. We need power. We need strength. We need healing. We need direction. We come to you, some of us, with our bowls empty, and we need you to fill them. We need sustenance. Lord, we need power to move forward. We need power to fight. We need the comfort and the confidence that you offer us in your gospel. So as we meet with you now, feed us. Heal us. Strengthen us for each of the battles that we face in our hearts and our minds, in our homes and our workplaces. Lord, everything that we see and face, make us your ambassadors in this world so that you will be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thomas, as he's been labeled. He's been labeled Doubting Thomas. I grew up and that was the way that I knew Thomas. That was all that I ever expected from Thomas. But we look here and we see a man, and if we're honest, we can relate to him. We would think of ourselves as strong. Perhaps we would think of ourselves as mighty. Sometimes I look at Peter and I think of myself like Peter, because he said stupid stuff, and he did stupid stuff. And I find myself doing that quite often. But here we look and we see Thomas, and Thomas says, that "Unless I see, I'm not going to believe." Now, maybe you have never said that. But we certainly live it. We doubt. We question. And we stumble along as we do. Even our sins are evidence that we doubt. If we won't yield, if we won't give up, we doubt his power, or we doubt his goodness, we doubt his word, we doubt his holiness. But here we look and we see that Jesus is offering this beautiful reality for you. He's offering you this beautiful truth. He says, "Thomas, yeah, you saw my hands, you saw my side, and you believed." He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You, sitting in this pew, are offered more blessing than the one who saw the hands and saw the side, who walked with him. You are offered more blessing than Thomas. And what is that blessing that we are given? What is that blessing that's held out to us? It's life. Life in the name of Christ Jesus. Now that life, it's an eternal life. It's eternal reality. And we hit on this idea every now and then that some people think of eternal life as what happens when you die. That's not it. That's a part of it. But eternal life is now. When you're saved, you've already gotten onto the train. You're on the train that's going. The train that's going on forever. You are in eternal life. You are already placed in that blessing. And the hinge and the focal point is that faith that Christ has given you and has put you in that place of blessing. Now, when we look at Thomas's statement here, and we look in the English, "My Lord and my God," and I've heard people preach it and think of it this way, and they say, "My Lord and my God," and that ownership there. And that's true. We do take that ownership there, and we believe in that idea. But in the original language, the statement is, it's hakurios, that's saying, "The Lord." The Lord is his statement. He says, "The Lord," and the next word is mu, which means "of me." So he looks at Christ, he says, "The Lord of me." We see a kingship there. We see a majesty there. Him recognizing the reality, and that reality is over him, above himself. And then he says, "The God of me. The Lord of me. The God of me." And this realization, this faith that God places on us, and us seeing that reality and embracing that reality and living that reality, is living in that eternal life. Not just that blessing beyond, but that blessing and that place now. Knowing the Lord of you. The God of you. And the call for you this morning is to live this life. To live this eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now our first move is to recognize and embrace the reality. He is already Lord and God. Thomas said, "The Lord of me. The God of me." Thomas looked and he began to see the reality, or he did see that reality. Now, as we sang in Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world, and those who dwell in it, for or because He founded it." He made it. So, as we look at Jesus as Lord, and there are some that think that we crown Him. Some people may even have imagined that Thomas crowned him. And as if Jesus says, "Oh, okay, Thomas said I'm God. And Thomas said I'm the Lord, so now I get to be the Lord. And now I get to be God." We may imagine that He is only Lord as we bow to Him. But that's not the reality. He is established over all. And when do our pains come? When do our struggles come? Our pains and our struggles and our sorrows come as we reject that reality. As we reject that truth. As it was said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. It's hard to fight against truth. It's hard to fight against reality. And every time we sin, we're fighting against the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord. You don't get to make Him Lord. You don't get to make Him King. But you get to live the reality of Him as Lord. The reality of Him as King. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." John 1:3 recaps the idea. "All things came into being through Him," that is, through Christ. "And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being." We see here, Jesus is indeed God. Jesus is indeed the Creator of heaven and earth. And as that is the reality, we owe Him our allegiance. You're welcome to try to blow Him off, to ignore Him, to fight against Him. But I promise you, it hurts. It hurts. It'll hurt you.
It'll hurt your families. It'll hurt everyone who loves you when you fight against the kingship of Christ. Revelation 17:14 says, talking about the nations, these will wage war against the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. That's who He is. Do you want to fight that? Do you want to fight against Him? Yield. Yield and see that He is already Lord. He is already God. And so now we go move to knowing Him as Lord and God. Psalm 63:1. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Seeing that He is the one who nourishes, but we have to know Him to see that. There is a movie about Moses, and after Moses runs away from Egypt, he's sitting with his father-in-law, and he's telling his father-in-law everything that happened. He says, God spoke to me. And he says, and his father-in-law looks at him and says, which one? And he tells him, he says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And when he says that, Jethro leans back and says, oh, Him. And there's this fear on his face. This dread on his face. That knowing who we're talking about, knowing who He is, does something to us. It does something to the reality of our minds. It does something to the reality of our hearts. It makes us say, the Lord of me. The God of me. And when we wrestle, and when we struggle, and we stumble, and when we fall, it's because we don't see Him. We don't know Him. We're not embracing Him. Now this idea of knowing Him as Lord, it looks like stuff. It's not just things we say. In Luke 6:46-49, Jesus said to those who were standing around Him, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and who has not acted accordingly, he is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. What sense do you have when the torrents bust against you? What sense do you have when the temptations come? Do you feel as if you're standing firm? Do you feel as if you're standing on a rock? Or is it like you're standing on sand on the seashore and it's rapidly washing away from under your feet? When you know in whom you've trusted, when you know Him, when you know what He is capable of, in that place we find peace. We find strength. We find life. So if you're finding yourself in the shadow, if you're finding yourself on the sand, if you're finding yourself doubting and being washed here and there, tossed to and fro like waves tossed by the wind, Seek him. Seek his face. Know him. And know that you're standing strong in the truth. Now, we believe, and we believe without seeing in some senses. In verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." And really, that, there's the foundation of faith there, or the definition of faith. Some have talked about faith and act as if it's believing in something. Somebody asked a small child at one point, "What is faith?" And they said, "That's believing in something even though you know it's not true." That's messed up. But it's as if we try to talk ourselves into things with faith. As if we believe that we manipulate our minds to come up with reality or force ourselves to believe things that are not. That's not faith. That's a self-deception. But the reality of faith is anchored in the Scripture. Seeing it and knowing that it's true. Embracing that as reality. That's faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Now Genesis 15:4-6, we're going to start looking at the evidences that we see. And really, we can't base our faith on evidences. And God made sure of that. It amazes me what God has done, and it amazes me what God has not done. Because what could he have done? He could have preserved a manuscript of the New Testament, and he could have had all 12 apostles sign off on it, and he could have signed off on it too. And that could be in a museum somewhere. He could have done that. He was strong enough. He is strong enough to do that. He decided not to. Why did he do that? Because he wanted you to be blessed. He wanted you to be blessed. Because you're blessed when you believe and you have not seen. More blessed than if you do believe. In Genesis 15:4-6, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And we look around and we see ourselves, children of Abraham, gathered from the nations. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of him who seek him. Now this idea of the believing without seeing, that's where we are. That's the blessing in which we get to live. This brings us to our next move. We can read the signs. John 20:30-31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And there we are. Struggling? Are you wrestling? Are you doubting? Are you weak? Right here we're told that these were written. This truth was written so that you would believe. So that you will have life in His name, and that you will live in that beautiful place of faith given by Christ. Now we believe also that Jesus is the Christ and He is the Son of God. And this is tied into the idea of His kingship. In Genesis 49:10, this blessing is being pronounced on Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh, that is the Messiah, comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. In Jeremiah 30:21, their leader, this is speaking of Christ again, shall be one of them, and their ruler shall come forth from their midst, and I will bring him near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare to risk his life to approach me, declares the Lord. In Psalm 110:1-7, which we'll be singing, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. And here we find ourselves. We find ourselves right there in Psalm 110. A people who have been given faith by God Himself. A people who have been given hearts to trust. A people who have been given hearts to love. A people who have been given hearts to follow. And there we are, volunteering freely in the day of His power, in holy array. Blessed, loved, cared for, rescued, saved. And we're brought to the place where we live life in His name. We look at the scripture and we see how everything has been stacked against us. The world fell. We were a fallen people, a fallen world. We were born with sinful hearts, hearts turned against God. And yet He gave us His word, and by His word, faith has come into your life. You have been transformed. You have been renewed. These were written that you would have life in His name. Acts 10:43. Of Him, all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. And this is the exciting idea, that as you read through the scripture, as you trace the line of the seed of the woman, and you see the seed of the serpent spread and fill the earth, and we see ourselves having been a part of that. We also see the prophecies of Christ again and again and again. Who's going to come is going to change everything and make a people to worship Him. And here you are. Here you are. As surely as Christ came, as surely as Christ is the Messiah, you are prophesied from of old. You were set apart from of old. Set apart from death and judgment. And set in life. Life eternal. That is who you are. That is the blessing that Christ has placed on you. So live it. Live it. Live the reality as sons of God. Live the reality as daughters of God, daughters of Zion. And rejoice in the Christ who has saved you as you walk in His truth. Let's pray. Oh God, You are our God. And we will ever praise You. Bring the great truths of your word to our minds and to our hearts, that we will say, You are the Lord of me. You are the God of me. And in this beautiful place, we will live in accordance with this reality. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm